Well, praise God for this time that we've had to draw our hearts towards God and express our love for Him. And but enjoyed the songs this morning and the prayers and the scriptures, and almost didn't want to stand up. I was being still and knowing that God is here. And what a joy to be here together. And, you know, that's why we come together to worship, to express our love for God, and to draw people to this place and this time that we set apart each week to express that and to share in that and to praise God for who He is, to get our minds attuned to who He is again in our lives and be reminded of all the wonderful things He's done through the Savior, through the Spirit, through this place, through other believers. And so great to be here to express that. And, you know, again, I want to encourage everyone to be a part of a life group, to be a part of Bible classes. And we wonder why. Why should I do that? That's where we get to continue to express our love for God and our love for one another. You know, life groups are a great part, a great way to do that, to be discipled, to encourage us in our walk, to take to heart some of the things we experience in worship. One of the things we do in our life groups is we take the lesson that is given each Sunday and we get time to discuss it. And if you are in a group, I encourage you to continue in those groups. If you're not in a group, I encourage you about joining one or starting one. It was mentioned in our Bible class this morning about, well, what if you can't meet on Wednesday, on Sunday night? That's when our current four groups are meeting. That's okay. If it works for you to gather together with another couple or a couple friends at a point in time throughout the week to be in that time to disciple one another, to grow and mature, and to process some of these thoughts together, I want to encourage you in that. And again, also our Bible classes hopefully provide an opportunity for us to do that. And again, why should we do that? So that we can be encouraged to do acts of service, to then go out, you know, to be reminded of God's love, to remind you that we're in this together, that we're growing and maturing for acts of service to serve the world. And so we want to encourage you in that to be charged up with your faith in God and to be encouraged to be a part of a ministry, to be an act of service. Well, this morning, I wanted to extend the invitation that the Lord has been given, that we've been looking at some of our men and women of faith, and how He has called these different men and women and invited them to Him, invited them to respond to Him, called to respond and to give their lives in service, in obedience, in sacrifice to Him. We looked at the life of Abraham and how he was invited and called by God to follow Him, called to go to a place that he didn't know where he was going. And then once he was along this journey, he was called again to make a sacrifice, to make an ultimate sacrifice of giving up his one and only son. And it wasn't until Abraham was willing to obey that command and he was at the point of almost slaying his son to where the Lord says, "Now I know that you fear the Lord." It's at this point of sacrifice that I know. And he was called by God here in the kind of the broader picture of the nation of Israel and of God's people. He was the one that was called to start the people of God. It was going to be through Abraham that this people and this nation would come. Then we looked at the life of Jacob, a grandson of Abraham. He was called to be the people of God because his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, where we get the name the Israelites, the people of God. And as the people of God, as this new name was given from the name of Jacob, the heel grabber, the deceiver, to the name Israel, Israel meaning people who would struggle with God. And we looked at how Jacob struggled with God, how he was allowed to wrestle with both God and men, but he was not overcome, and that he was able to bring his doubts and his fears and his questions towards God and wrestle with God. And he did not let God let go of him until he told him his name. He did not let God let go of him until he said, "God, I'm not going to stop until you bless me." And he was called to be the people of God. And the people of God, the nation of Israel, would continue to struggle. And Jacob, in a passage in Genesis 32:30, we see later on in his story that he saw God face to face. He was called into that type of relationship, invited to meet God face to face. And it's when we are face to face with God, when we're pointed and directed towards Him, are we able to really see His face, Him knowing that He sees our face, to then we give our response. And then we looked last week at the life of Moses, how he was called to lead the people of God. Abraham was called to start the people. Jacob was called to be the people. And in Moses' life, we see he was called to lead the people. See, but Moses, he needed a realignment of his identity. He needed a realignment of his fear. He had a crisis identity, being raised as an Egyptian, but knowing he was a Hebrew and wanting to serve God, but this wrestled with who he was and who God was. And God realigns him by defining and showing Moses who God is. And once Moses' fear was in the right place, and he was able to reestablish himself before Moses, then he invites Moses, invites him into service. He says, "Yes, I know my people are in captivity. Now I am sending you to go." And we see in Exodus 33, Moses also got invited into this face-to-face relationship. The Lord would speak to Moses face-to-face, as a man speaks with his friend. God called each of these by name. They heard his voice, and they responded by saying, "Here I am." I hope that these past lessons have drawn you into these stories. There should be a slide there with the Bible Project slide there. There you go. Hope these past lessons have drawn you into these stories again. Drawn you into the Scriptures and drawn you into hearing and knowing more about who God is, for you to see God face to face, to be reminded of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Moses, and to point yourself towards God and how these people were pointed to God. I hope that you are encouraged, and I hope you will go back and you will read again Genesis and Exodus, and we talked a little bit about Joshua. We talked some stories about the judges, and we talked about Ruth, and now we're going to be in Samuel, and the story goes on to the kings. You know, I want to point you to this, some awesome resources and tools to kind of remind ourselves about what these are about. And this is, you go on YouTube, this Gospel, the Bible Project. There's another one called Gospel. That's why I put it on there so I wouldn't get confused. But the Bible Project, and what these guys have done, they've taken most of the Bible. They're still working on getting the rest of them together, but so far they have a good chunk of them. They have some of the ones that we've covered already. They have the Torah, some history, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and they give anywhere from a 5 to a 10 minute quick little snapshot, really kind of very, a lot of images, a lot of information to kind of remind ourselves, oh yeah, what is this big picture? What is this story all about? So I just want to make you aware of that. But I hope that by doing these, I know for me, going back to these stories and seeing what God still has to say for us has gotten me back into these stories. You know, you see throughout the history of God's people, and you see throughout the Bible, the retelling of these stories. And you see the reminder of when God says who I am, he says, well, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. And remember, well, who was God to them? Who was he? And what is that God? And so I just hope that this draws you back to be face to face with God, to see as God called these men and women, how he is calling you. Well, how do we discern the voice of God? How do we know that? How do we hear that? Well, I think there's some things that can help us to hear and discern and know the voice of God. I think one of those things that's important is to listen. To listen. To be actively listening. You know, to have yourself in a place where you are open towards God and willing to hear what he has to say. Because he is active and he is present and he is calling and he is calling you and he is calling me. But we have to be willing to stop, take off our sandals, and listen, and be present to him. And maybe it's at times to be still, to quiet the noise, to quiet the distractions, to be attentive to him, and to be looking upward to him alone. You know, to not look anywhere else. Sometimes when we are listening and wondering, what is it God would have me to do or what is it I am to do? I know for me, it's come for me to look inward, to turn my attention into myself as if there's something inside of me that's going to tell me
how I should be and who I am. And I'm only going to see myself. I'm not going to find God inside of me. Or I might look around. I might look out and go, well, what about this? What is that? Is that where I'm going to find my identity? But no, to be listening upward to God. So I think to begin to hear the voice of God, we have to be willing to listen. And then we have to acknowledge God. You know, we could listen and we could hear all kinds of things, all kinds of voices, all kinds of sounds. But to acknowledge God, I am listening to you. I want to hear you. And to do that, there has to be acknowledged. There has to be a confession that God, you are real. And God, you are here. And so for me to turn and listen, I know I'm hearing and listening to you. To have belief and faith in God's reality. And then to hear, to understand, to take it in and then to respond. And I believe this is true even for someone who may be doubting. Someone who may be a little skeptical about, well, you say God's calling, but I don't know. I don't really know who God is. And I don't even know if God is really even real. God even exists. How can I listen to something I don't even believe in? But even to have the acknowledgement of the possibility. To say, okay, some say God is real. You say God is real. So I'm going to attempt to try to put myself in there. I'm going to turn my way, acknowledge there is a God, whether I believe it or not. I'm going to acknowledge the presence of God, and I'm going to point my attention to Him. So there's got to be this listening, willing to listen. There's got to be this confession, this acknowledgement that there is a God. He is real. And then once you have heard, and once you have listened, and you've gotten yourself into the presence of God, to then respond. Once you hear this voice, to respond in faith. And then to respond in obedience, to do what you hear Him saying. And then to go out and do that thing, to respond in that way in a confident humility. To be confident that this is what God would have me to do, but not for my own. Not for my own benefit, not for my own pride, my own glory, my own honor, but only in a humble response to God. When these men and women that we've looked at, when they responded and said, here I am, they were at a place, God got them to a place, and it took some time with a few of them as we looked at, to get them to a place where they saw God for who He is. And their response by saying, here I am, is saying, I am your servant. And in confident humility, they stepped out in faith. They stepped out in obedience. They led the people. They sacrificed their son. They wrestled with God. They led the people. Well, we at times, and you at times, may need to be directed by somebody else towards that voice, to be pointed to that, to be said, to be encouraged along the way to say, listen to God. You may need to be encouraged by someone who says, you know what, there is a God. And God is real. I have faith and I believe. And you need to, as you are in life and as you are questioning and you are discerning and you are wondering where I should listen and what I should do, go to God. Don't go in. Don't go out. Go up to God, because I believe He is God. To direct people that way. We have that awesome opportunity to do that. And we may need that. We may need that. You may need that. And I know there are others, so many, that need us to do that to them. So many are questioning. So many are looking. So many are wanting to know the answers, the big answers to the big questions. And it's to God, to listen to God. You know, we can't expect somebody to know what they don't know. But we know there is a God. And we know that God speaks and God has a plan. And so we are called, can be called to point others to God. You know, we may need someone, like I said, to point us to Him. You know, when Jesus was with His disciples and around the people, there, you know, there's always been people that worried about stuff. People that are always anxious about stuff. Always that wondered, like, what are we going to eat today? How are we going to go from here to there? How are we going to make ends meet? People are always worried about that. What's to come of this world and this nation we live in? And Jesus responds when they were worrying, says, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. He said, stop looking around. Stop looking in. Look up. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. To ask, God, what would you do? What would you have me to do? God, I am confident that you are in control. You are on the throne. You are God. You are Almighty. God, I seek you in your righteousness. You know, I know at times for me, when I come to God in prayer, I have a list of things ready to give Him, to ask Him, to request of Him. And I come ready. Sometimes I confess that sometimes there are days I don't pray. And then the requests kind of build up when I don't have time to, and I haven't made time to give them to Him. But when I've gotten where I've gotten where I've been out of discipline and had some days where I didn't pray, man, I have this list of things. But when I finally come before Him and I remove the clutter, I clear the schedule, I say, yes, I'm going to listen to you. God, you are God. And I acknowledge it is God. I have to stop. All that list, all those requests, all those things kind of start to go to the side. To when I am attuned to Him, when I'm listening and I'm acknowledging and I'm ready to respond. Man, I came with so much to ask and to give and to request, but first I have to come to grips with God again. To remember that He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of all things. Who am I? What are the things I have to bring to Him? Who am I in the presence of God? And when I come to give grips with God again, or try to get a little taste of Him, I can't come completely around Him, can't get the full picture of Him, but the pieces that I can get, it removes all that anxiety. It removes all those fear. And I am lifted up to see Him face to face and once again to thank Him for all the things. Why am I worried about so much? Why am I concerned about so much? You hear when the apostles asked Him, Lord, how should we pray? Listen to where He addresses the comments. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Where's all the attention? Yes, there's so much to present. Yes, there's requests. And He's going to get to those requests. Yes, get to those requests. Present them to Him. He wants to hear from you. He wants to know. He cares. And He will act and He will lead and He will guide. But first, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, yes, Lord, give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. To say, speak, for your servant is listening. Well, our story comes from the book of 1 Samuel. The story of Samuel himself and his calling. His invitation when the Lord called him by name. See, his mom, Hannah, was barren. She was kept from having children. And she was in desperate need and she was in grief and sorrow about this desire to have a child. And we go in 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting in verse 10. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be put to his head. As she kept praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and said to her, how long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your requests for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." She appeared to be out of her mind. She appeared to be crazy. But out of her grief and out of her cry for the Lord to provide her, to answer her, to respond to her, to give her this blessing, she prays to God. And in verse 20, "So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. And she named him Samuel, saying, 'Because I asked the Lord for him.'" The Lord answered her prayer after many years and many times of grief and sorrow, of pointing her attention to God, going to the only one who could hear and to listen and could do anything about her request. And she was blessed with this son, Samuel. And then we go into verse 24, 124, it says, "After he was weaned," so she raises this child, "and after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When he had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, 'As surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I have prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord.' And he worshiped the Lord there." Hannah dedicates her son Samuel to the Lord and to the Lord's servant. She was asked the Lord for the son, and she gave birth to him, and then she nurses him to an age, and then she presents him to the temple as an act of service, that he would serve Eli the priest and he would serve here all the days of his life. She was committed as a parent to raise her child to serve the Lord. You know, as parents, we have the opportunity, that blessing, to raise our children to be servants of the Lord. And how do we do that? We do that by pointing them towards God, for them to hear his voice, for them to come to a place to answer his call, to respond in obedience and service to God. We do the same thing with others who are new believers, or those who are searching, or maybe those who aren't searching. We teach them and we disciple them. We come alongside them. And how do we get them to understand the Lord? By pointing them to the Lord, putting them in the Lord's presence, and putting them in the Lord's service to become his servant, to know him as God, to submit to him as a servant, to submit to him as a believer, to be active in ministry, to then serve the world. And Hannah prays in chapter 2, and kind of the summary of her prayer in this chapter is that kind of threefold, that God opposes the proud, but he exalts the humble. She knew that it was because of God that she was able to have this blessing. And God opposes the proud and exalts the humble. That despite human evil, God is at work, and that God will raise up a messianic king. And she leaves Samuel to serve the Lord under the priest Eli. Then we get to chapter 3, or a little before chapter 3, but about chapter 3. She leaves him there. And when she goes back and she visits him year after year, when he's about 12 years old, is an estimate age, 12, 13, we get to chapter 3 where the Lord calls Samuel. See, here, as was read, and we'll read it again, the Lord called Samuel, but he didn't know his voice. But yet he was raised in the temple. He was raised in service to the priest. How could he have not known? He was around it his whole life. How could he have not known it was the Lord? You know, think about our children that are raised in the church. How could they not know? How could they not know? Well, he was raised in the temple, but yet it says he had not known. He had not responded to the voice. He had not recognized it. But he had not yet responded personally to the call of God. See, you can't get to heaven riding in the minivan. Parents are driving. Kids are in the van. They aren't going to get there just because you're driving, you're following. You know, other believers, we pick them up
If a brother's in the way, we will stop and pick him up. If a sister's in the way, we will stop and pick him up. And we won't tag along behind. But even if they're in the van, even if they're in the bus, even if they're in the church, they're not going to do it. They're not going to make it there till they come to a place where they hear the voice of God. They've been pointed to God, and they put themselves there, and they say, "You are my Lord. You are my King. I will serve you. Get me in the driver's seat. Give me the keys. Give me the car. This is my faith. Let's go." This is the story of Samuel. How could he have not known? It just surprised me. He was in service. They're doing sacrifices. They're praying to God. Eli is probably talking about God every second of the day. How could he not know? See, we can't be left on our own. We can't just say, well, they'll figure it out. They'll know. They'll somehow, they'll find it. And maybe God will find them, and God may not say, well, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to find somebody else. I'm going to make someone else go to your child, and I'm going to help them. But people have to be pointed to God, have to be pointed in that direction. Have to be saying, you have to be, God, go listen to God. Yes, God is real. Maybe you don't believe him, but I do. Try it. Listen. He's God. Acknowledge him. Hear from him. Respond, have faith, obey. We must be pointed towards God, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We see this played out in 1 Samuel 3. Read the story again. 1 Samuel chapter 3. The boy ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." He ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called him, "Samuel." Samuel got up. He went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." The boy, "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. See, he did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. Samuel got up, went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You call me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if God calls you, God is calling you, and I want to point you towards him, you say, you listen, you acknowledge God, and then you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went, lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." He was listening. He acknowledged. And he says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." But now the invitation of the Lord was being presented to him. The Lord calls him by name three times, "Samuel, Samuel, Samuel." And after three times, Eli points him towards God, knowing that the Lord is the one who's calling. Eli encourages him, "It's not me. It's not inside of you. It's not anywhere else. It's God alone. Listen to him, acknowledge his voice, and say, 'Speak now, for your servant is listening.'" And the Lord spoke, and he listened, and he obeyed. And the Lord continued to speak to Samuel all of his life. And he acted in obedience as being one, a prophet of God. He spoke words to Eli. He spoke words to the others, to the kings, and continued to go face to face with God, listening to God, acknowledging for God, for himself now, and responded in faith, in obedience, and in confident humility in God. Well, let me invite you to be like Samuel, to respond to the call of God. Let me point you towards God. Have you been around God? Have you been around this church? Have you been raised in a Christian family? Have you been amongst the community long enough, but you have not yet accepted or had the Word of God revealed to you? Let me point you to Him. Go to Him. He acknowledge Him as God. He's calling you. Confess your faith in Him. Listen and hear Him calling your name. Respond in obedience and accept the Lord's invitation to become His child. Let me point you towards Him. Let me point you towards His Word. Let me point you towards the body of Christ, how we can see face to face God through His Word and through others and through Him Himself and through this Holy Spirit. For you to see, for you to hear, for you to know that Jesus is Lord. There's nothing more than I desire for any person, for my child, for your children, for your friends, for my friends, for all the people, for everyone to come to that relationship with the Lord, to each one to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Maybe let me invite you to be like Eli, to be one that points others to the Lord. Who do you know that doesn't know the Lord? Point them to the Lord. Who has wandered off? Point them to the Lord. Who's not listening to the Lord right now? Point them to the Lord. When people express doubts and fears and frustrations and concerns and are just out of their minds about what to do in their life, point them to the Lord. Point your children to the Lord. Point other people's children to the Lord. I know for me, when I'm away from someone that I love so well and I care for so well, they've been in my presence for a while and they've moved away, I pray this often, Lord, provide somebody to come around them in their lives where they are, to point them to the Lord, to keep them in the Lord, to keep them growing in the Lord. And I'm praying for God to send somebody else from some other church in some other place to do that for them, because that's what they need. That's what I need. That's what we all need, for someone to be Eli, to say, go to the Lord, go to the Lord, go to the Lord. And to be patient, and to warn, and to encourage, and to come alongside, to be personal. I pray for that for those that are away. And I pray for you to be Eli for some of those that are here. To be those other people. You may not be their parent, but you may know of somebody else that's wandered off. To point you to them, to say, come alongside, point yourself to the Lord. You might be those people to help other people's children who are here, just as we might be praying for someone's that are somewhere else. Let me invite you to be like Samuel, to respond, to be like Eli, to point others to the Lord. And I invite us all to be like Hannah, to pray and to cry for those who are lost, who those aren't pointing their lives to the Lord, for those who are messing it up. And we know why. Because they're not pointing themselves to the Lord. For those who have once been with the Lord and aren't anymore. Those who have been raised in Christian families that aren't anymore. For those who have never been invited to the church or never been invited, don't even know that the Lord is the one to be directed to. To pray that they would be pointed to the Lord. That somebody, some Christian, some believer, some miracle would point them to the Lord. If we would only see the Lord for who He is and cut all the other stuff out of the way, then all those melt away. And then we can say, here I am, speak, for your servant is listening. Invite people to the Lord. Invite them to your tables. Invite them to your life. Invite them to your Lord, to your worship, to your breakfast meetings, to your life groups. Invite them to come alongside you, to serve you, serve with you in ministry. Do you know the Lord? The response is for you. Are you going to respond like Samuel? Can you hear Him calling your name? How will you respond? Like Samuel? Like Eli, or like Hannah? I invite you to respond this morning. The Lord is calling. Will you be willing to say, speak through your Lord, for your servant is listening, even as we stand and sing?